Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 239, part 1, What Peace? Today is Friday, March 23rd, 2012.
Today's message is entitled, What Peace? What are you talking about, in other words, what peace? Our world now is headed towards World War III. How many know that? And many are crying peace, the Bible tells us this. But you know, it isn't going to happen. To no avail. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. And so we are confusing the issue now. We got all kinds of things you'll see on TV that don't pertain to Jesus Christ and the simple gospel message. People are confused all over the place, and they're like the sea, it says in the Bible. See, because man without God does not want peace. I have to laugh at the people that carry these peace signs around. You know what? They're not too peaceful. See, without Jesus, there is no peace. You step on my toe once more or bang me in the head with that sign, I'm going to kill you. I mean, you know, where's the peace? They're not peaceful, a lot of people that are carrying peace signs or demonstrating, even in the name of Jesus. It doesn't always mean a whole lot. The Bible tells us, judge not the world, for they're already under judgment. In other words, don't get too close to the peace movement people a lot of times. They really don't want peace. They want an argument. That's like getting into different movements. Movements without peace in them. Well, does it bring peace? Does coming to church bring you peace? Well, yes, it will. It will, but will it last? No, only the Word can make it last. Psalm 119 verse 165 says like this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. Now that's not dealing with those that perfectly keep the law. How many know it's impossible to perfectly keep the law? Can't be done. No, it's talking about people that love the law, that love God's Word. Not the perfect ones that perfectly keep it, or so-called perfect ones, but those, it says, that love it. Now, how would that be if we loved only those that loved us perfectly? There'd be no love at all. Because, see, they cannot love you enough. How much do you love me? Well, count the ways. And you have to go through the whole thing on how much you love somebody. It's a total always proving. No, no, it says love overlooketh all things, bears all things, endures all things. And then there's Scripture, love God first. Love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. No, I think the people that really have peace are those that understand the blood and the blood covering. That understand that God loves them in spite of themselves. Do you always love yourself? No, you might walk over to the mirror and you got on a new clothes and everything and say, you know what, I'm not a bad guy, you know, and you get a few wrinkles on your trousers and go look in the mirror. You don't love yourself as much. That's how basic it really is, isn't it? Or you got a hair that's sticking up. You slept on it wrong. Oh, I hate myself. Doesn't take much to lose our peace, does it? I could say something right now to any one of us in here, and we would totally lose our peace. Like, where did you get that awful looking dress? And even if we would feign overlooking it, we'd talk about it for months. We'd totally lose it. No, it's an art. And it's the art of seeking the Word and knowing that the blood covers all of your sins. That's the only thing that will bring you peace. I mean, to be a peacemaker will bring you peace. And so you want to have peace? Well, go on out and make some. Now, how do you do that? Well, you're a peacemaker. Sometimes people can make war just with their attitude. I've had different ones work at the mission that look peaceful, that look kind, that look considerate, but they didn't have peace. And when people come in, they instinctively know when we don't have peace. I know they know when I don't have peace. So I get vocal. I mean, I can't cover up when I don't have peace. I blow it every time. How many know what I'm talking about? I just blow it. I mean, I cannot act goody-goody two-shoes when I'm not goody-goody two-shoes. I just, it's not in me. Well, it's getting better. You know why it's getting better? Because I'm understanding that the blood of Jesus Christ, the covering, is the only thing that will bring me peace. And so I'm getting less and less offended. My tolerance is greater than it was a year ago. For 10 years ago. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I had no tolerance at all. And when we know that all things are working together for good, when we know that, when we fully understand that, well, that takes the time of going through, don't you see? If you don't go through something, you'll never know that all things are working together for good. Lord, I can look on my life, and many times I thought, man, hang it up, jump off a bridge. And later on, I'm finding out that all things are working together for good. I mean, in the storms of the world, we have peace. Not only because we do the will of God, that has nothing to do with it. There's a lot of people that do the will of God. I'm doing it. But they don't whistle while they work. They drudge. They're drudges, like we said some time back. No, it says they love to do it. Now, that's the difference. Someone that's doing an efficient, beautiful job, like the librarian that has the glasses hanging down, the old-time librarian with the glasses hanging down and the corny shoes on and the little black long dress and the little frills up here and the little collar up here and those stingy little glasses like what I got on here, waiting for someone to make a noise. Very efficient, all cards in order. Huh? But is she peaceful? She wants peace. Shh. You daren't even cough in there. Do they have peace? Do they register peace? No. And it's the same way with us. When we are servants, we have to pray for that peace. We have to know that we are sinners and the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of us. Not some, not the whore, not the pimp, but all of us. Well, I don't like to be associated with them folks. I'm sorry, you are. When you get to heaven, the only thing that's going to be there is sinners saved by grace. And your only reason for being there is because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all of your sins. And you might be standing right next to the biggest whore in the world that received Jesus Christ. No, I mean, I'm sorry, all you legalistic people, but that's just the way it is. Look at Jesus when the woman was washing his feet with her tears and wiping his feet away, the tears away with her hair. And he discerned, well, I know what you're thinking. But unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't even make it into heaven. And they're keeping the law all the time. But they're going through hell keeping the law. No, they don't know that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. They don't know that. They don't understand it. They don't love to do the Word of God. And that librarian we talked about does not love to be a librarian. She hates it. Secretly, she'll sneak back in and read love novels back in the D17-4. Huh? She's frustrated. And so many of us are frustrated. And why are we frustrated? Because we don't know the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our sins, and in fact, we don't even think we're sinners. We think we have attained and we're above that. We can't be reached. No, it says, in nakedness, in peril, and sword, the Bible says. See, if our peace is conditional, we wouldn't have any at all. And that's why many of us don't have any, because there's a lot of conditions. What a way to start today. I guess this just isn't my day. They drop something, or they forget to put their belt on, or they put the shoe on the wrong foot. Guess it isn't my day, and they're all frustrated. They can't admit that they made some mistakes. How many have said that? Guess it isn't my day. That's an excuse. That's a cover-up. In other words, you're saying, normally I'm perfect, but this isn't my day, okay? What's that got to do with it? No days are your days. All the days belong to the Lord. He'll do what He wants to with you. So you forgot to put your belt on. Hold your pants up with one hand and keep on going. See, we let those things destroy our peace. Not being perfect. Well, I started this day out wrong. Yes. Now what? I promised myself I was going to start a new day and I was going to be great today and holy and pure and sweet. Sour grapes again. Foiled. Now, if you can relate to this, you're not alone. We all can relate to this. So don't hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Or Susie Dooley, or whoever. How many can relate to this? I certainly can. And the only way that we gain a ministry is by a revealing of ourselves. So praise God, it's all working together for good. That you forgot your belt, that you put the shoes on the wrong foot. Learn how to laugh at yourself a little bit. There's lots to laugh at. You never run out of material. I know I haven't. Now stop thinking what you're thinking. Laugh at yourself first. No, it says, no offenses or stumbling blocks in the original, which are thrown in the way by temptation, by malice, or by enemies, or by friends. Friends can throw things in your way, can't they? You have something to do, and they say, oh, why don't you just forget it and relax and do this? Don't take it so seriously. Golly, can't somebody else do it? Do you have to do it all? And you start thinking, yeah. Do I have to do it all? Or by anything we see, or by anything we hear or feel, none of those things should be able to detain us or divert us from our course. That's like these people that pilot these boats down the Mississippi, down to New Orleans. Reminds me of a song I won't sing. But anyway, they have this course, and they have to follow it perfectly and miss all these sandbars. And so they can't have some want diverting their attention. M&M? No chocolate mess? Pop? Sandwich. Maybe you want a sandwich. Wonk, wonk. Huh? They're coming up to a turn. Wonk. Stop for a minute. Will you talk to me? I want fellowship. You're on the wrong ship. See, a lot of times people think fellowshipping is standing in the hall. I had about 20 Christians downstairs, as an example now, not as a criticism. Well, I guess it could be a criticism, but it would be a nice one, okay? But we were close, and they were all standing in the back hall. Now, they had eaten and had fellowship. And I mean, the dishes were piled up, and there was dishes all over the place where they had sat. And there was like 20 of them that were in there. Another tray, another tray, another tray. And they had four. And that's all right. But when they got done, and the mess was there, the aftermath of their eating, they stood in the hall, and I said, is the door locked? They said, no, we're having fellowship. Well, I didn't say it. What's that song? I didn't do it. I really wanted to do it, but I didn't do it. You made me do it. And I almost said, well, you're on the wrong ship. This is not the good ship of Lollipop. You'll have to go outside. We got to clean up this mess now that you made. I didn't say it. I was perfect. But no, we're having fellowship. And so many Christians think it's so important to get on a ship and then just have fellowship and let the ship go wherever it goes. Praise God for Jesus, the captain of your salvation, or that ship would be all over the place while people are feeding their faces and having fellowship. Nobody working the, marking the depth, mark four. No one watching out for the sandbars. No one piloting the boat. And I went over to another table. And I learned things from Christians a lot of times about myself. I went over to another table and I said, well, did you do this or did you do that? And there was two girls and two sisters and a brother sitting there. Oh, we only do, every morning we get up and we pray for the will of God if we're to go out and look for a job or not. No, we don't do nothing without praying about it. How about you, they said. Well, maybe I should start praying about whether I should come down here every day and feed you. Maybe I should give that some very deep thought. See, we use Christ a lot of times for an excuse. And so these people had that, they had no peace. And they were going to peace. Lord, they don't have no peace because they asked stupid questions. They know the answer is going to be, get up off it, you sluggards, and go on out and look for a job. So they didn't have no peace, but they're pretending like they did. Oh, no. It's the only way we have any peace. We just seek the Lord. And whether we even seek Him to whether we're supposed to come down here. And I thought, well, His answer is pretty much the same. You've been coming here for a couple years now. Don't you think it would be the same thing if you went and got a job? But I didn't say that. I was perfect again. No! See, I lost my peace by holding my peace. Now there's ways of telling people. And a way to do it is to say, well, now let's be realistic about this. Really, let's really be realistic about this now. Let's just look at this thing. What if every fireman and every policeman and every pilot and every person in every job said, well, I'm just going to seek the Lord whether I should come in here and go to work today. How long would they last in that job? In the natural, they would fire them. Hmm? Or the airplane is going down, is getting ready for, is in a dive. Lord, do you want me pulled out of the dive? See, people use the Prince of all peace for nonsense. No, you know what to do, and to know what to do and do it not is sin. So there's a lot of ways we can lose our peace, even though that we're seeking the Lord. But all through the ages, we have seen men who do not despair at trials and tribulation, but went on. Made changes. Oh, change is hard to make. Isn't it? Isn't it hard to make changes? Isn't it hard to make adjustments? Isn't there a song like that? There'll be a change in the weather, there'll be a change in me. Oh, clearness of conscience. I heard you on the radio. Yes, clearness of conscience does help. But really, what gives us great peace is the blood of Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace, the Bible says. Now, doesn't that take you off the hook? So that you're always looking to do something to get your peace? Or you can lose your peace by not doing things or doing things, but you gain your peace by trusting in the Lord. We have peace. We're justified by faith. And so we have peace. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have peace. And some people want to take that peace away from you. Why are you so peaceful? No, the world calls us slaves. No drinking, no rude jokes, no dope. But look at their freedom. Nervous breakdowns, alcoholic wards. And I believe I was in a breakdown all of my life. Continual breakdowns, little sporadic breakdowns before I came to know the Lord. Now I just have crazy days. But I believe I had a breakdown. From the time I was born until the time I got saved, I was in a continual breakdown. How many are hearing this? But look at their freedom anyway. The wards, the alcoholic wards, the tanks. I know a little bit about that. Fried brains. Yesterday at the run, did you see the woman? She was a beautiful woman. But she had no expression on her face, and we had the rope up, and she was trying to go over the rope. She wasn't looking, and she just kept going like this, trying to get her legs up over the rope. She had lost it. She had totally fried her brains. And 15 times I told her, I says, no, you got to go underneath the rope. And she, oh, and she'd go back. She didn't argue. She didn't have enough spirit to even argue. Oh, okay. See, she had been trained in the mental ward. Over on the other side, maybe a Miss Starchy Cap trained her, you know what I mean? Miss Starchy Cap, Miss Duty with no love, Miss Nurse with no nursing. And so she kept going, frankly, trying to get over this rope, and it was hitting her legs. I thought, God. Futility. No peace. And then maybe someone else comes along and says, you dummy, can't you see your legs are bumping the rope? Or maybe they haven't been in that place yet where they're bumping their head against the wall and don't know why. No, the world doesn't have any kind of freedoms. No, it doesn't. Got herpes. They got new names for them now. They used to have the yuppies and the puppies, and now they got the herpes. People are so glad now when they go to the hospital and find out they don't have AIDS, they only got herpes. Oh, it's only herpes. Let's go party. Yeah, they're settling. They're settling now. That ain't bad. Woo! Thought I had AIDS. I got sores all over their face. That's the kind of freedom you get. Yeah, and Susie Chapstick won't help you either. Let me tell you that. No way. No, I say no thanks to that kind of freedom. I was in that kind of freedom. It's hell. It is total hell, and that's what I've got to tell the world, and that's why I'm standing up here today, and that's why I'll stay here as long as the Lord wants me to. So here we have a psalm here that's devotional. This is not merely a statement, but it's part of the hymn of praise unto the Lord. I think we can praise God no more than and no better than by stating the facts of His Word. Because all glory belongs to Him anyhow. You can't add any more to it. And so here the word law here not only means the Ten Commandments, but see, there is a higher law. It's called the royal law of love. A true love that cannot be offended. Oh, it might get excited, it might get angry, but it doesn't get offended. What's the difference? Well, there is a difference. Offended means you stay that way. It's like a bent fender. It stays that way until it gets pounded out. Offendered. No, our Bible is the law of holiness to guide our actions. The law of faith by which we receive His grace, the law of the kingdom of heaven, that is the law of life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and as the law of works, this holy book convinces us of sin. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, by the way. And the more and the deeper you get into the Word of God, the more you're convinced that you're a sinner. When you've quit all the alcohol and all the drugs, and all of these other overt sins that we'd name right down the list. Now we're dealing with something more than Ten Commandments. We're dealing with the royal law of love. A new and better covenant. Now the old one, it says, is old and ready to disappear, pass away. But we have a new one. And every day, the Word of God, as we grow in the light and revelation of the Word, we start to see little things in there that are little deflections, little things we don't like. The higher light comes on. The 25-watt light bulb is replaced by a 100-watter, and we see there's more dirt in the corners, and we thought we were so good, and then the 1,000-watter goes on, and then the 10,000-watter goes on. Then you get on stage and all the stage lights go on and blip, 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 blip. And then the spotlight goes on. And so finally, as the law of love, it leads us to Jesus. That's what brings you to the Lord. To find forgiveness through His blood. So love is our main commandment, isn't it? And first of all, you have to learn to love God first. So now as we grow in love, we grow in grace and the knowledge, it says, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the more you obey Him, the closer you get to Him, and the closer you get to Him, the more you see yourself and the closer you want to get to Him. And so you find out about what you're around. You find out about love by being around love. When you find out that the Scripture says love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered, is very, very true, and you really, really need it. And so love persuades us bit by bit. You aren't persuaded all at once. And that's why a lot of times people have first impressions of people. You know what? I like that guy. You know what? I like him. I don't know. There's something about him. I like him. How do you know? You don't just spontaneously like someone. Oh, it's okay to be spontaneous in your liking, But you have to build to that. I mean, so you like people right away no matter what they're like. That's like you see a policeman on TV clubbing somebody in the head and a dog biting the kid in the seat of the pants. Well, you have to love the policeman and the guy with the back of his pants out and the dog. They're all working together for good. How about you, peacemaker? Ooh. Now, I've sat with some peacemakers that aren't peacemakers. They are warlike. They might as well put on one of them Nordic costumes with them horns, you know what I mean? And furry armbands and the leggings and the boots on there, you know, and stand there with that great big old heavy 4-pound sword. Now, bit by bit, love persuades us. Bit by bit, we lay down the flesh. How many have laid down a fleshy attitude and then went back and picked up? You lay it down at the altar, see, and you leave. Praise God, I gave that thing up. Laid it at the altar. And that's the same way with people throwing their cigarette packages up on stage. All right, everybody that's smoking, throw your cigarette pack up here. And they all throw them up there. Now we're going to jump on the devil's head. Now that's all good and everything, but I think each person needs to have Jesus talk to them as an individual. Okay, and so they robotically pick up their cigarettes and they reach in there and maybe take one out and put it in this pocket. And Alfonio, Alfonio. And they throw them up there and then somebody up there jumps on them. Doesn't mean a thing. Maybe to one or two, but it doesn't mean a thing. And then the ones that gave them up and went there, they stay mean for about 2 weeks. You mean you're smoking again? Weren't you there when we stepped on the devil's head? Ooh! It wasn't done out of love. Love for the Lord. It was done out of showmanship. Okay, throw your bottles up here. They line all the bottles up and they get out there. Elliot Ness gets out there with a machine gun. Or Rondo. Is that his name, Rondo? Rami, isn't that it? Rami, yeah. There's so much unrealism, I don't believe it. They have all these shows about the army. How many have been in the army? Half the guys are running as fast as they can away from the enemy. They're safe because the other army's doing the same thing. Now, I think the more light that we receive, the greater revelation of what sin is shows up. We become more tolerant. The alcoholic doesn't look as bad as he did when you were first saved. Remember when you were first saved, how bad the alcoholic looked or the person with a problem looked or you were delivered of alcohol? And why can't they just give it up? Why don't they just pray like I did? You become more tolerant of the hobo. Isn't that right, Jim? Takes tolerance to be down there, doesn't it? No, it does take tolerance because, see, the same guy might come in again, you know, and, oh, potato soup again! No, you get so you're more tolerant of folks. You get to realize the only difference between you and the hobo is that you're driving the bus, right, Jim? No offense intended, Jim. Well, it's really true. When you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's really true. You look at the people and you say, well, they're just people. That's what I've come to. Someone comes up and I say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a whore. You turn around and walk the other way? Run? What do you do? Do you put that long, bony, spiritual finger out there with a long old nail on it and say, "Repent!" And look like you got the crazies? Nah, but for the grace of God, you could be that whore. See, so you got to minister to the people's needs according to your own need. You mean you've stopped needing Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ all of a sudden? And you focus all your time and attention on those people? No, as we receive a greater revelation and light and we come to the knowledge of Christ, we come to the knowledge of ourselves also. You only know Jesus. The more you know yourself, the more you're going to know Jesus, because the more you're going to go to Jesus. And so we gain greater peace. And as the light increases, of course, then the Scripture opens up understanding. And oh, now I understand that. Judge no man. How many are understanding judge no one better than they did when they were first saved? In the manner that you mete it out to someone else, so shall it be met out to you. Now you understand that better too, don't you? Aren't we perfect when we first get saved? Oh, yes, we're so perfect. And we look out there at all those poor souls that haven't made it over yet. Come on over! Be like me. Of course, no one comes. No, the world can spot a phony 4 miles off. Just admit you're a phony in some respects. Aren't we all phonies in some respects? Yeah, we all are. We all try to cover up. We all fig leaf it. Not me. No. Well, maybe you'll be like that king that was standing there in his robes, and he thought, well, he said, boy, my robes look so good, he'd have nothing on. No, we start to keep more of the law as we keep more and more of his law by his grace. Our peace deepens. You don't keep it because you want to. No, you don't. You keep it because the desire is put in you to keep it by the Lord Jesus Christ. That desire is called grace. His grace is sufficient. Now you start to have a love relationship and you start to do things out of love. And other than that, it's nothing. His promises then become reality and give us peace in the time of need, the Bible says. And we start then to comprehend all the great doctrines that are surrounded. By the cross of Christ. And the covenant of grace. That has to surround every one of them, or it is nothing. And then we start to take his word as life. We understand eternal life. That's pretty hard to comprehend, but we start to understand eternal life. Life eternal. And then we start to be taught by the Holy Spirit. He leads us, it says, into all truth. And we find the peace of God, the Bible says, which passes all understanding. Keeps our hearts, it says, and our minds by Christ Jesus. And so let's look at three things here today. Spiritual character. They love thy law. Now that's your character. And you have to grow into that, okay? I think secondly, special possession. Great peace have they. We've got it. And then preservation. Nothing shall offend them. Or in other words, nothing shall be a stumbling block to them. I think a lot of us have lived this text already. But for you that have not found it in one little speck, may you today somehow, by the grace of God, find this so that you're not running around under all this legalistic pretending, offensive to the Lord, a stink in his nostrils, if you will, type of living. I ministered one time, I said we have submission to his will, and that would make us, the submission to his will, that would make us complete. And I think that's true, but you have to come into it a bit at a time. You don't submit all the way. Do your children submit all the way? Do they, when you tell them to do something, do they submit all the way? Oh, they might mind you, but they're sitting there and they're kind of mad. Oh, all right, I'll do it. I'll show you. I'll clean my room. You bet I'll clean my room. You remember that, Debbie? Debbie, do the dishes. My dishwasher would bang and the dishes would go in there. Okay, say you want something to eat, huh? She'd throw the pan under. That, by the way, is why we pray over our food. To remove the curse. No, but they don't start to mind all the way with their whole heart right away. They have to grow into it. Usually they grow into it when their kids help them grow into it. Now I know. See, after they go through the same thing. Now I know what Dad meant. Now I know what Mother meant. Now I know. And so anyway, number one, they which love thy word. Not a surface thing. A lot of times, there's so much surface love that goes, you know. Oh, how'd your date go? Great, great, I think it's love. Some people live in a sort of like a fantasy musical. Know what I mean? You ever see these musicals? Oh, it's love, huh? Surface! It's like they check it off. And some people even pray for people to come to me. 6'2", eyes of blue, oochie coochie coochie coo, mark it off. No, I'm not talking about a surface thing here, like a, you know, eye appeal. But an inward love. To love God's law, I believe, is sanity at its very highest. To love the Word is more than just reading it. Though there's so many people that can read the Word of God. And they read 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 some more and they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. God, I promise, I'm on a 5-year Bible study. Oh, Lord. And they get up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm not saying this is wrong, but they're not loving it. And they read some more. Oh, got through. I'm through Isaiah. Oh, Jeremiah. Oh, how far do I have to go? No, it's living it. It's actually loving to read it so you can get directions to live it. An inward love, not an outward quoting, but a doing.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 239. That was part one. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a good weekend. God bless you.